together.
Delaney, America Tonight, a big shout out to the people listening to us in Portland, Maine on WLOB 1310 AM and 95.5 FM. Getting a lot of mail from that direction. Portland's beautiful country, especially when you get closer to the summer. Great place to drop one of those fishing lines. I know I did that a couple of times with my family as we headed up north and really, really enjoyed myself. And howdy to the rest of you and all those nooks and crannies, rather, as well. Getting ready for the holidays. You can tell I've had too much coffee. Oh, yeah. My coffee pot broke. Has this ever happened to you? And I went to Starbucks, and I think Starbucks put something in their coffee because it's kind of like you're speeding or something. It's too strong. I think it's too strong is what the problem is ultimately. How many times have I jumped on these airwaves and kvetched about coffee? It's a problem. How much coffee do you think the candidates drink? When you run for president and you go on the morning shows and you're hopping from town to town and then all of your aides, who must certainly be sleeping for at least an hour, are doing the same thing. And then, oh, yeah, there's those advanced teams, the people who are sent ahead to survey the land so that when you step in, you're ready to roll. How much coffee do you think all of those people drink? If we were to add it all up, Starbucks is probably making a killing. Somebody who's not making a killing is the think tank for Newt Gingrich. The healthcare think tank was founded by Newt. It's going under. The Gingrich Group also named the Center for Health Transformation. That's clever, huh? They filed for Chapter 7. The filing says that they owe maybe up to 99 folks or creditors between $1 and $10 million. Their assets, less than $100,000. Back in January, South Carolina, the primary, I can remember how full of himself Newt Gingrich was. He really thought that he had the world by the tail, had a lot of backers. Conservatives were going to be there for him in the end, and he would get the nomination. The person who really believes he's going to get the nomination, and he has math on his side, is counting on the Keystone State. Take a listen to this.
I need your help, you guys. As you know, I want to win Pennsylvania in November. I'm going to win Pennsylvania in November. We're going to make this.
All right, so he's pumping up the Pennsylvanians, and why not? Because Rick Santorum, that's his country, and in a new poll, Rick Santorum was trailing Mitt Romney. Now, you still have a little bit of time before that primary. However, if Santorum really can't take Pennsylvania, how can you expect him to win the White House? And more importantly, as I said, math is not on his side. It's on the side of Mitt Romney. How can he overtake Mitt Romney at this point? You have Rick Santorum, who is disputing, actually, the delegate count, saying that the numbers aren't right. His team has been vetting through what people have been saying, and it varies a little bit here and there, but the Santorum people say that the number is way off, so therefore he would be a lot closer than what he's given credit for. I say it's a clever argument, because you got to sit there and you got to come up with things when you've had an hour's sleep, you're an aide, you're eating the donuts, drinking the coffee. How do you get your guys some publicity? How do you try to turn things around? So once again, the narrative for Rick Santorum is that there's something wrong here, that the race is much closer. The hunt ultimately is for 1,144 delegates. We all know that number. But what Santorum's people are saying is Romney has 571 delegates. Santorum has 342. If you look at some of the cable websites like CNN, they always are pumping out the numbers. They've got the delegates that are at 657 and Rick Santorum with 273. And there is a slight difference there. By my count, Romney needs 44% of the delegates that are still on the table to win the nomination. Santorum needs 78%. Now, you tell me, do you think that it is possible for Rick Santorum to get what he needs to beat Mitt Romney? My math has gotten better over the years. It's not happening. It's not happening. It's wishful thinking, but it's not happening. We can paint the picture however we want it. But isn't it interesting that Mitt Romney, who's going to be Mitt Zomney, a zombie, by the way, I'm sure, for Halloween. Can you imagine the Halloween costumes? I was thinking about that today. Mitt Romney has this thing bagged. He just does. And, you know, any way you want to manipulate it, you can manipulate it however you want to. But the race, I don't see the race tightening. Santorum's people say that Texas, which has the primary on May 29th and has 152 delegates, so that's a whole bunch, is in the process of announcing that the primaries are going to be winner takes all, which is what I think they should all be. This is part of the problem. Make it winner takes all. So Santorum is countering that it's a game changer. He gets Pennsylvania, and then, of course, you ride in to town in Texas, and you claim that you can get all of the delegates there, and then it'll be a lot closer. Now, May would be better territory for Santorum. He could do better in North Carolina and West Virginia and Nebraska, Kentucky, Arkansas, and Texas, and throw in North Carolina. But April is not going to be a great month for Rick Santorum. And I'll say it again, with Romney capturing almost 60% of what he needs, Santorum only 24%, you tell me how he's going to make up the difference. You can't manufacture the numbers. It's not possible. So Mitt Romney making the general election pitch, as you just heard, in Pennsylvania, but trying to kind of ignore Rick Santorum and just focus on, I'm the guy, let's look ahead to November. I think that's their strategy, and whatever's happening around them with Rick Santorum, or even if Newt Gingrich wants to throw in, they're just ignoring it at this point. Coming up on America Tonight, because it is the Easter holiday, and of course Passover, going through that, and what it means to people in looking at their lives, examining it, and thinking how they can give back to help other people. We're going to introduce you to a reverend who has been to Darfur and Southern Sudan and the Sudan just in general, and is going to tell us about some of the atrocities there, the slavery that goes on that's just unbelievable, brutal. It's just brutality to the kids, and we've got something that we're trying to help them with. It's called a sack of hope, along with goats for the old goat, because it's amazing what you can do to help people with very little, where you really are not contributing a whole bunch of money. But it's the stories really that I want you to hear, because I didn't realize some of the things that were going on in the nether regions, let's say, in those locations. That's coming up later this show. Next, we're talking business.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Crank up your savings at the Webb's headquarters for hand crank and solar power preparedness. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Save now on solar generators from $289. Solar lanterns just $24.95. Solar waterproof flashlights only $12.95. Cook anywhere solar ovens from $279.95. Portable solar panels from 21stCenturyGoods.com give you the freedom to harness the power of the sun to charge your gear wherever you go. Show your patriotism with our line of solar flagpole lights. Plus, find a full line of emergency and shortwave radios, solar lanterns, and LED flashlights. And see our monthly two-for-one specials at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number two, the number one, ST, CenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. Spend $100 or more and get a free hand crank solar flashlight when you mention you heard us on GCN at checkout. Crank up your savings only at 21stCenturyGoods.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendovite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendovite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everybody's kvetching about gas prices. And why not on this show? We are constantly talking about what's going on. Why aren't we opening up the reserves? Why aren't we drilling? Why are we not doing the things we need to do as a nation? Like I always say, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who are the biggest gas guzzlers of them all? And it's true. I mean, but there's ways to ease this burden, and we know what a political game this has become. Now, especially, I guess, with news media coverage, joining us now, a guy that we found on the show before, we like him, Dan Gaynor, VP of Business Media Institute. They did some interesting research on news coverage, network news coverage of the gas prices and where they've been headed. And Dan, first of all, welcome to the show, but what did you find out?
Well, it's a pleasure to be back. What we found is what everybody who really watches news already knew, that the news media made a big deal of the $4 a gallon gas price in 2008. It became an election issue. They hyped it to hell and gone because they could. It made Bush look bad, made Republicans look bad. And so they did almost three times as many stories leading up to getting close to $4 a gallon, talking about $4 a gallon, as they've done this year. Because $4 a gallon, it's one of these magic break points for the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Cramer, who's no friend of conservatives. I mean, he's a big lib, but he's also a funny guy. He says, now that's $4 a gallon is when it starts to hurt the recovery.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, all we have to say is the high water mark for anything beyond four and forget about it. So you're saying, geez, that the network news is biased, huh?
Well, I know it sounds silly to say it that way, but the point is, it's not that the network news is biased. I mean, look, every time you look at coverage of Republicans or coverage of Democrats, that's when he goes nuts. And you look at social coverage, like the way they handled the abortion issue. Of course, they go nuts. But the point here is, it's not just those issues. It is quite literally every single thing that affects our lives. News media are spinning it. This is an important election issue, but it's not so obvious. I mean, you may be able to walk down the street and ask people how much a cart, how much a gallon of milk costs. A lot of them are not going to know it. For one thing, they don't necessarily buy a gallon. They may buy a half gallon or a pint or a quart or whatever. But the other thing is, they're usually buying that when they're buying a lot of other stuff. But when you drive down the highway, you sure as heck know. You drive by a gas station, it's got 2-foot-high numbers that say the nationwide average today is 393. So they say 393 or more. Well, you remember that. And then when you get gas, I got gas today, it was more than $50 to fill up my tank. I was on another radio show today, and the guy had a bigger tank, and he was in New York or something, and he paid more than $70. That's something Americans know, and if that keeps on going through the election, Barack Obama is going to have one heck of a hard time getting reelected.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was saying, what's the magic number ultimately where you say, oh, all bets are off? And maybe there was a deal cut, however, with David Cameron, him when he was over here, the Prime Minister for England, when they were talking about possibly, wink, wink, the strategic oil reserves and a bilateral solution to that, perhaps. But I think this is, my cynicism or just being realistic. If that ultimately comes into play, Dan, I think it doesn't happen until right before the November election. Like, in other words, October 25th.
The last time Obama was, because he did it one time, he released the oil from the Strategic Oil Reserve. He did it when it was a lot lower in price. But from what I've read, he has not replaced that oil. And with the prospect of a very serious prospect of a war in the Mideast that could either spike gas prices or maybe even get the U.S. military involved, tapping the strategic petroleum reserve is stupid and dangerous. So he can't really do that. Again, it looks like it's blatant politicking, and the closer it gets to the election, the more it looks like it's blatant. But the price keeps going up, and if it goes up much higher, or if it stays even at this level close to the election, like I said, he's going to have a hard time. That's why the media don't want to cover it. They don't want it to look bad.
Yeah, because they know that there is a certain number. I say the numbers, you start to get in Europeans territory. We don't care. We don't want to pay what the Europeans are paying. Last time I was in England, it was like $7. It was insane. And not to mention that they also have a tax when you're driving around in a car anyway. But I think you get the number we're at now, you get into 5, 6, forget about it. I think Obama's done, honestly, or at least it's a really tight election. It's going to be really tough.
Well, I mean, if it gets much higher, unless he has somebody to blame it on, let's say there's a war in the Mideast and he can blame it, then he's got to blame the Israelis, which really looks bad for him, for his base. I mean, it's hard for him to dodge. And there are a lot of things. They always say, oh, there's nothing he could do. There's no magic, silver bullet. Of course there's no silver bullet. There's nothing the president can do that's one thing. But there's a whole lot of things. He could open up more federal land. He could open up more offshore drilling. They're going to drill off the coast of Florida, but they're going to do it. The Cubans and the Chinese are going to do it together. He could allow the pipeline. He could allow us to explore for more other energy, coal and natural gas and things. We have an energy policy in this nation that is decidedly anti-energy. We need to change that if we're going to lower our prices.
Yeah, I agree. Dan Gaynor, VP for Business Media Institute, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Keep rocking. We'll talk to you soon. All right, so you heard Dan and what he was saying, obviously, about oil that it's not a story that's not being reported very much on the networks. And I have seen network coverage on gas prices, but not lately. Not lately. I haven't seen it on any of the morning shows or any of the evening shows. And gas has really climbed high. I went to fill up today, $3.80 for a gallon of regular. What are you paying at the pumps? Are you really, truly feeling that pain? I think more people are feeling it now than ever. And Dan makes the point that I make all the time on the show. If there was one way to bring down 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, it would be gas prices being $5, $6. It's a no deal. It's a no-brainer. $6, and I guarantee you there is no way that Barack Obama doesn't do something to ease what's aching us, ailing us, and it's the prices of gas. So whether it's, and you heard him say there's not a lot in the strategic petroleum reserves, but there are other things he could do with moratoriums, and I think they're watching that closely. I do. I think they're really, really watching it, and I wouldn't be surprised to see some kind of a play in October if the number is just too high, because there's, I don't see there's any way that you reelect, he's reelectable if you're paying $5, $6 at the pump. No way. No way. How about in other places? Jack from Down Under says Australia gas in Australia has jumped to $6.50 a gallon, but then it'll drop after the long Easter weekend. A lot of people in Australia have 4 days off, maybe even 5 days off. Don says it cost me $130 to fill my Suburban with gas. $130, that's a lot. Especially if you're putting miles on it, because how much does that $130 get you? People who work from home at this point really hold the cards, because if you work from home, guess what? You're probably not driving very far except for to do errands and whatnot. And maybe you don't even ever have to go into the office, which could be however far away it is. The average commute, I've said this before and I double-checked this, the average commute for the American people is 40 minutes each way. And that's just average. There are a lot of people that do an hour. They do more than that. And if you don't really have great access to public transportation, trains, subways, you're stuck. You're driving and you're putting in the petrol. That's what you got to do. And unless you have a bunch of friends who work at the same place and don't live too far from you, you can actually carpool. But I don't think very many people can carpool because of how people's hours are set. It's not like it used to be. It's not punching the clock usually anyway. 9 to 5, you know, 8 to 6, whatever it is that people work. It's different. It's a very, very different world. Hang with us. Odds and Ends next.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarette's revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every meat eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus meat eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the freeze-dry guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yield with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Ends here on America Tonight. Thanks for listening, by the way. Appreciate all the new listeners. Give me that high five and telling us what they think of the show. You can always send me your thoughts or vent or talk about something coming up in your life that's pretty cool that you want us to know about. Like, you're just opening up a restaurant in New York City. That's what Victor wrote to me. And guess what it's called? It's called The Speaker. The Speaker. But he didn't really flesh it out, didn't tell us where it was, except for it was somewhere, I guess he said it was in the Bronx. We're going to have to look that up. We're going to have to get some more info on that. Also, a big shout out to all of our friends listening on WICC 600 AM, New York City, Connecticut area, Bridgeport, Connecticut. Fabulous spot there, too. That's one, a stone's throw away from New York, really. You could easily work in New York when I was talking about carpooling. Now, there's a place where, boom, you can just get on a train and you're in the city. So you don't have to worry about carpooling. In fact, you probably wouldn't unless you had a lot of people in the neighborhood that worked where you worked. And also to my friends in Athens, Ohio, WAIS at 7:70 a.m., Athens, Ohio. A teeny tiny cool station. That's where I actually started. Not at that station, but in Athens, Ohio. I went to school at Ohio University, and the first time I got to play radio was when I was in college. There was a station called ACRN. It was a rock station, and I got in trouble because they had a wheel where you would have to play songs from one section in the red, songs from one section in the blue. I was doing the DJ thing, and something from the other section. So you had Jock's Choice, where you could pick whatever you wanted at the top, and I'd always play the same thing over and over again. Because I'd get fixated on a song or group, and then I would play it over and over. I remember a lot of Sting. I remember a lot of Stones. I remember a lot of Smashing Pumpkins. And if I just liked the song, that's what happened. They'd call me up and say, okay, you're banned from Smashing Pumpkins. No more. You're banned from any old Sting. What can you say? And here we are today, all of us, on ATN. It was opening day in Major League Baseball. So before we go to the rest of odds and ends, I have to hand out my daily salute. I'm sorry, this is personal, but I am a diehard Phillies fan. The Phillies beat the Pirates, and here's what the end of that game sounded like.
A swing and a bouncer to third, backing up Polanco. He's got it. The throw across, offline. Wigginton holds the bag and reels it in, and the ball game is over. The Phillies with a 1-0 shutout win on opening day as Papelbon closes it out for Roy Halladay.
All right, gotta love it. My pal Scott Fransky with the call there. Woohoo! How about some applause? See, Minnesota, they root for the Twins. There you go. Some Phillies fans in that crowd in Minneapolis. One other quick note, opening day, Blue Jays and the Indians. Boy, you could have bought a lot of hot dogs if you were an Indians fan. And you were sitting there watching this thing. Then they ended up losing, too. 7-4 was the final score in 16. That's the longest opener. 16 innings. Is that not crazy? Toronto putting up the runs that they needed in the end, obviously, in that 16th inning. So the poor Cleveland fans looking for that win, maybe sitting through that whole thing. For that entire time. Yeah, that's when baseball's too long. That's when it's not just the greatest game ever played. That's when you're ready to leave. Hey, let's go down to the soccer game instead. It might wrap up a little bit sooner. All right, speaking of wrapping up, there's a lot of debate politically, and we have started with this, about Mitt Romney and has he wrapped up the Republican nod. The Santorum people say not so fast. The numbers don't add up. They don't believe the numbers that are out there when it comes to delegates. And what about Texas? Because it's probably going to be winner takes all, and they could win the 157 delegates. So basically what it means is you can try to pressure us to giving in and say, uncle, but we're not ready to do it, so we're going to hang around. And we're going to spoil the party until we decide that it's time to leave, which might be around the Pennsylvania primary. If Rick Santorum doesn't win the Pennsylvania primary, he probably parachutes out. Then it's a question of Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich, at this point, he's got a think tank that's going bankrupt. He's still hanging around, but there's no TV time. There's no free TV time to be had anymore with debates. So I would say if Santorum goes, it's only a matter of time before the whole deck clears and just the inevitable ends up happening. A couple of quick follow-ups for you. That's always good, I think, in an odds and ends segment. People still want to know what happened in Texas. And what happened in Texas is actually that the number of homes actually destroyed by 13, that's officially what the National Weather Service is saying, jumped up. Initially, it was thought, you know, maybe 300 houses or so were destroyed. And now instead, the number has leaped up to over 1,000. So there's a big difference when you talk about 1,000 homes and 4 or 5 different areas being ripped up and different levels of destruction. Some just a little bit of work would be needed, some complete overhaul, some just flattened. I saw a few homes in Arlington, Texas, where you had the frame, pretty much just the frame was there. It looked like they were building the house and whoops, somebody dropped everything. Sadly, the number will be higher in damages. It'll be much higher. And I have to say it once again, the most shocking thing is, if you don't believe me, go to YouTube or click on any of the websites that are streaming the video of the hurricane, because people actually had, and we had it on ours too, had a lot of the funnel clouds, and they were monster size. I mean, they were just, one was an EF3, huge. The way it came down on some of those houses, it looked like it was just going to eat up the neighborhoods. And it did, but no people killed. Still no people killed. And that is phenomenal. That is the best part of a pretty brutal story. Because who wants to come home and see their house in shreds and run around the neighborhood praying that they can find their dog? And that was the case for a lot of people. That's what they ended up having to do. There was only pets. A lot of pets were missing. But other than that, no. All right, let's move on to something else from the odds and ends category. And what we talked about heavily on this show for the last month has had to be this Trayvon Martin deal and what's going to happen with George Zimmerman. I think by now we don't have to rehash the story for everybody. You get it. You know what the story is about. The 17-year-old kid and the Florida law, stand your ground. Will that law stand up to the test of the scrutiny that it's receiving? And George Zimmerman, it's the same question. We have no answer to it at this point. But will George Zimmerman face any kind of a trial for shooting and killing the 17-year-old, that's up to a grand jury, and we're almost into that. So the grand jury will have to decide if there's enough evidence, and most likely it's not likely that they're going to find that. I think if they really go with that, the stand your ground law and try to interpret that, it's going to be interesting to see if they think there's enough to go for it. And then, of course, then it would be up to a jury, and that really would change the face of this whole story. The big question and the thing that's being torn apart more than anything now, it's not about hoodies, it's not about what the kid was doing, it's more and what Zimmerman was doing. At this point, everybody is so focused in on the 911 call. Remember, it was reported all over the place that George Zimmerman grumbled into the phone some kind of a racial slur before shooting Martin, that he said something, and then NBC edited conveniently a piece together where he was saying there's a black kid, and that wasn't true because he hadn't said that. They asked him to describe, and they went through Hispanic, black, what does the kid look like. So now the supposed slur, Zimmerman's lawyers are saying that their client didn't say any kind of a slur, any kind of a racial slur, that he said instead, cover your ears, the effing punks is what he said. That's what is being played back and being torn apart by forensic audio experts who are analyzing backwards and forwards that call, that recording. And there was some kind of cell phone interference, a ton of cell phone interference. So it was tough to identify some of the words anyway. But punks is what I thought I heard, and listening it back to it, it sounded like punks to me. And I think punks is what they're going with. And punks is different than what was initially said. Tough. So the enhanced video, I think, does refute the slur idea. Do you think they're going to have enough, though, to push it forward on Zimmerman? I don't know. Now it's a point of knowing all the information. What else is going to come out in this one? I mean, it just seems like everything's so manipulated now at this point. I hate to say it, because I definitely have my thoughts on the one thing that I think doesn't change is, boy, if he had just backed off of that. But I believe there's even more things that'll emerge out of this. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to introduce you to a really cool reverend who's trying to help a lot of people. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including turtle tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot turtle tufts to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in 2 sizes. Get your Turtle Tough Shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Very pleased to welcome to the show the Reverend Heidi McGinnis. She's an ordained Presbyterian minister who serves at a very important... Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Very pleased to welcome to the show the Reverend Heidi McGinnis. She's an ordained Presbyterian minister who serves in a very important role as a director of outreach for Christian Solidarity International USA. That group, in case you don't know, is a human rights group that actually started back in Switzerland in the late 70s. But check this out. Since 92, CSI has delivered humanitarian aid to South Sudan and to Darfur, as well since 2003. The Reverend has made many, many trips to the Sudan, and I'm sure she can open our eyes to some of the things that she's seen. Reverend, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Well, it's such a privilege to be with you and with a listening audience. Thank you so much.
Take us back to your first trip to the Sudan, what you thought you might see, and then what you did encounter.
Well, the war was still on during the first trip. We were dropped off in a cargo plane and had to carry our tents in the desert frequently and in the savanna, frequently in triple-digit heat. When the war was on, one expects to see devastation, but I didn't expect to see the mind-numbing suffering. I didn't expect to see slavery. I didn't expect to see horrific, intentionally inflicted wounds upon the South Sudanese, Black Sudanese. So that was very much a shock. and that they had every imaginable disease under the sun. We, of course, were delivering humanitarian aid, medicine, and also grain and sacks of hope. Sacks of hope are so critical because it's the difference between life and death in the desert and also the difference between hope and despair. So it was quite... I think the mind-numbing suffering that was inflicted, I became an abolitionist on the spot.
And, you know, when you say, especially slavery is such a buzzword, I don't think people can wrap their mind around what that means. Are we talking women and children and men?
We're talking women and children and men. This was government-sponsored slavery. This is, you know, we're so accustomed to human trafficking, and that's slavery too, of course, and as horrific. But this was government-sponsored slavery against the black Sudanese in the South, and it was also ethnic cleansing. So over 200,000 women and children, primarily, but also men, were taken into slavery. While they're enslaved, they undergo horrific abuse, and they undergo not only beatings and burnings and brandings, but intentional amputations. And just recently, I saw a young boy who'd had a burning stick put to his head and held on his head. When I put my fingers on top of his head, there was a depression. You know, horrific trauma and abuse.
And how do you, to try to save some of these children, what has been done? What do you, because obviously you're involved in that, you talk about the sacks of hope, but
well,
what's been done to help the kids?
Frequently we go into Baggara Arab camps to negotiate the release of the slaves by offering $50 worth of novidium, which is a cattle vaccine, because that's something that the slave masters can't get a hold of readily. Slavery, as you know, Ms. Delaney, is a crime against international law. But even with the South being an independent nation since July of last year, there was no provision made to bring the 35,000 women and children and men that are still enslaved. And so that's how we secure the freedom for the slaves. And then we give them a sack of hope, which is so phenomenal because it has all of the essentials for life, and so when they return to their families and communities, they have something to give, and
Pastor,
also if they're not in their home area and they have to walk, they have a mosquito tent, they have sorghum grain for the journey, they have a 5-liter water container, and those are $50. They have a cooking pan, they have a family size plastic sheeting if it's rainy season, they have a sickle, and we also give seeds. It is a gift that makes a difference between life and death.
I'm sure that you've seen the reaction. What's the reaction when the person gets to cross over, they're negotiated out of slavery? What's the reaction?
Goodness. Well, initially they're so afraid, and even though we've told them that they're free and that they're returning to their communities and to their home areas, you know, there's no light in their eyes and the submissiveness, because so many of them have seen executions and throat slit of fellow slaves. But then when they realize that they're free, the light returns. And then, of course, there are just wonderful hallelujahs. And chiefs wait to recognize members of their community. And also the family members wait, the community members wait. It's very exciting. And, of course, we see reunions on the spot. And that's what you live and what you work for. So the $50 for the sack of hope is a gift of freedom. And it's really quite wonderful, and people who wish to donate that, you know, we're entering this great season of freedom for our Jewish siblings with Passover and our Christian siblings with Easter. And for $50, of course, people can give freedom. They can go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com and make a gift for a sack of hope or a partial one.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, I think that's terrific. We've talked about that a lot on the show, and a lot of our listeners have done that. And for people who are listening, you could give this as a gift and whatnot. And as the Reverend says, it's absolutely amazing as she described what that sack of hope contains and ultimately what that means for the people who get it. You know, since you've been to the South Sudan and to Darfur since 2003, and you know that recently the movie star George Clooney testified about Darfur. What is it going to take for something even bigger to happen there?
Well, I think it's going to take George Clooney, and it's going to take 10 George Clooneys, and people pay a lot more attention to George Clooney, and I'm so grateful that he gives his star power. And currently, you know, he was such a champion for the people of Darfur, and that genocide is ongoing. But currently, he's speaking to what is happening in southern Kordofan and to the people of the Nuba Mountains and of the Blue Nile region. And so I'm so grateful for that, because the same head of state who is wanted by the International Criminal Court as a warrant out for his arrest is now conducting these killings and the evisceration of children in the Nuba Mountains. So it's going to take George Clooney to continue and for 1,000 George Clooneys to step forward. But it will take all of us. That's what I'm saying. And and the other thing is that I'm hoping that George Clooney will speak to the slaves, those that are still enduring bestial savagery. You know, I've cleansed their wounds. It's horrific what they endure. And if he speaks to those still enslaved, that will be so comprehensive, so critical, so necessary.
And the Reverend, the Reverend Heidi McGinnis is who we're speaking with, and we're talking about the atrocities in the South Sudan and, of course, Darfur and what's happened and how you can help with the Sack of Hope. We're talking about Easter and Passover and what a time of rebirth and giving that it is right now that many of us are celebrating. When you talk about the slaves, how old are the kids? I mean, are the kids toddlers even, or are they all different ages?
The toddlers come with their mother. Now, over 9 years ago, Ms. Delaney, when a mother came, all of her children were allowed to come with her. What I've seen the last 3 years, which has been so hard, is that the children are taken away from the mother. They're the progeny of rape, of course, but they're taken, and it doesn't matter. The mother loves them just as much. And when they come back to the South, the women are honored as veterans of war. They're not shunned, and their babies are incorporated into the family. But this has been a horrific practice because the mothers are grieving when the children that they have given birth to are 5 years old, they're taken away so that they don't learn about their language, they don't learn about their history, they don't learn about being South Black, South Sudanese, and having a rich culture, a rich nation. And so the mother is quite brokenhearted, but she usually brings a toddler back. But we see little girls as old as 10 coming back. We see boys that are 12 and 14. And, of course, there's no distinction made between adult and child. Each one receives a sack of hope.
Yeah. Do it. Go get a sack of hope. Tell everyone, Reverend, where they can go again.
They can go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com. They can also go to csi-usa.org. But on goatsfortheoldgoat.com, they can go to that. Both of them, csiusa.org, both of them are very secure.